The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listen again anytime, 24/7. Visit our podcast page at LarryMarino.com. Sunday morning, newsmakers, AM 870, The Answer.
Elizabeth Bernstein is joining us, a columnist and writer at The Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much for taking time to share with us about a piece that caught our attention involving something as simple but important as prayer. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about this story, because my wife came to me and said, oh, you've got to see this. There are people out jogging that look like they have, you know, earbuds in for their iPhone, or that you think they're talking to somebody on the phone, but they're praying. Tell us about this story. How did you come about doing this?
Well, I was interested in this story because I had a powerful experience this summer, a very tough thing happened. My father became very, very ill, and I never was one to pray much, and our chaplain at the hospital taught me the Serenity Prayer, and I found that really helpful for centering myself and sort of giving me this internal strength, and so I had it tucked away in the back of my mind, and then lo and behold, you know, here we are in this really dark time, and I started to see research about how more people are praying right now. Pew has a study, more than half of Americans have prayed for an end to the coronavirus. There's some more research. Prayer searches on Google skyrocketed in March. And so I started to think, you know, now's a good time. What's the science about prayer say? Do people have any benefits in themselves? Science cannot study the existence of God, of course, but is anybody out there studying how this affects our bodies and our minds? What happens within us when we pray? And sure enough, they are. I thought they would be. And so then I decided to write about it that way.
So you started looking around. You mentioned, for example, you're right, Google searches are up. People are looking for some inspiration. And what did you find? What did you find that, as you asked the question, what does praying actually do for us?
I was very surprised at how few studies are out there, or how little it's studied, given that many, many people pray, and many people understand that it helps them themselves, separate from a, you know, reaction from God. It can help them, even as they believe God to be unknowable. So I was really sort of surprised, and researchers explained to me it's very difficult to study. So that, you know, was one thing that was surprising. But then of the studies that are done, it has some really surprising benefits. Prayer works similarly to meditation, and that it can calm us down, it can calm our nervous systems, it can help reduce our fight or flight response, it can make us less reactive to negative emotions, it can make us less angry. These are all studies. This is, you know, research. Scientists have looked at this and shown it. And so I found that to be great, amazing, but also, you know, I thought it was something people needed to know about.
Yeah, because you're right. We, for how much we do it, there's not a lot of talk about what it actually does, and very interesting. So you mentioned, and my thoughts are with you on your family member's health. You're right. We all, you know, life goes along, and then something comes along and gets in the middle of it. And you mentioned the Serenity Prayer. I've heard of it through places like AA and some of those programs. They're central in using that prayer. But you found it. You said it. You thought about it. And it seems to be a prayer that lets us, you know, address the things that we can address, but to understand that not everything we can change, and to be able to what? Accept it? Or how do you interpret what the prayer means?
You know, it's a prayer that's sort of is teaching you, you know, there are some things I can change. There are some things I can't. I have to accept what I can't change. I have to, you know, be brave enough to change, to have the courage to change what I can. And I want the wisdom to know the difference. That's what I'm praying for, to accept the things that I can change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. And so it's a, to me, it's a prayer about centering myself and focusing, you know, when I'm overwhelmed, look, there's only a little that I can change or I can work on. The one thing in any situation, the only thing for sure we can work on is ourselves and our own reactions. And sometimes that is the most powerful thing we can do.
I was just looking it up as you were speaking. It says the Serenity Prayer is a prayer written by an American theologian who lived between 1892 and 1971. And I'll just read it. It's quoted as, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." Very powerful when you think about what it's telling us to do. And it kind of gets us to stand back for a second and realize, okay, I may be in this storm. I may have a relative who's ill, or, you know, we're in this coronavirus and, boy, I sure would like to get my haircut, or, you know, it'd be great to get back to work and get that job, and will things turn around? And we start to just think about all those things at once. And this helps us to kind of step back a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. It helps us step back and think, like, if we're overwhelmed, am I going to lose my job? Or if I've lost it, am I going to pay the mortgage? Am I going to, on and on and on, what's going to happen? Is someone I love going to die? Like, you know, all of these things right now, are we going to open up? Are people going to reinfect other people? You know, all these things to worry about, and it makes you realize, like, you can worry till the cows come home about some of these things. It's not going to change any outcome. But what you can do is change yourself. Wear a mask, put yourself in the best, you know, be very careful about the risk, put yourself in the best safe environment you can, continue to act safe, and go forward. So to me, it's so centering and focused, and sort of it's a prayer for strength, really, for inner strength. That's what it really, I see it. And in that way, I think it's a really beautiful one.
Elizabeth Bernstein is a writer and columnist at the Wall Street Journal. You have a unique position to put things out there, kind of in the ethos when you put them up on the site or it goes into the publication. And then I imagine you get some feedback. What kind of reaction did you get on this story?
This one, I was worried. I'll be honest, I was worried because I thought both ends of this spectrum on prayer are going to be mad. Some people are going to say there's, you know, no God. What are you talking about? Other people are going to say, how dare you? It's not science, it's God. And so I thought, well, I'm going to equally opportunity offensive, you know, offend everybody by accident. Or, you know, and I certainly never would mean to. But what I found, I was really pleasantly surprised, is I did get, you know, several hundred letters saying thank you. They just, more and more, they said thank you. And the really nice thing is they all prayed. I blessings for you. I pray for you. But they said thank you because it was, and they told me their stories. And either they had been through some hard time, or this COVID situation was very difficult for them, or maybe, and some of them said, I've always prayed, and this is my experience. It's always helped me. Others said, thank you. I forgot how powerful it could be. One woman, I this is amazing to me, but a woman in Ethiopia wrote and said, you know, I fought with my husband today. It was horrible. Big fight. And then I opened my phone. There's your article. And I prayed for him, and I felt a lot better. And so, thank you. So I was really surprised. People are out there right now looking for ways to be positive, ways to stay centered in their relationships and their lives, and keep going forward from a position of strength. And I was heartened to see the feedback that they were, you know, that they were sort of noticing that this is one way that is available if you're open to it.
Yeah. And you work in journalism and news, and I work in it in broadcasting. And, you know, the comment has said, you know, it's so negative right now. Why all the stories? And on one hand, I say, well, we've got to tell you the numbers. You need to know what's going on. We need to tell you the facts. But it has gone on so many weeks and longer than we thought. As you reflect on this coronavirus story, has it impacted you as a journalist? Are you feeling, you know, kind of bad that we have to tell so much bad news?
Well, I feel that, I feel it's horrible that the world's so negative right now. I feel that journalists have to. I feel like I'm a little tired of people killing the messenger here, being mad at the messenger. Things are bad. Journalists are working so hard to deliver accurate information, and it's not our fault there is this pandemic going on. It's not our fault that there's so much news every day. So I sort of feel like people need to maybe listen more. But I agree that after a while, as a person, you cannot just keep taking in negative and negative and negative, and we're now becoming desperate for something that is positive and that even speaks to our time but gives us some positivity in it. And that's where I'm sort of happy in my role. I get to, you know, sort of deliver the positive.
Yes, you do. And that is why you are our featured Sunday morning extraordinary newsmaker this week. We like to select someone who's doing something out there. Who is really changing the course, that understands these are tougher times. For us, it is our generation's moment of what our grandparents went through, for example, with the Great Depression. We're seeing firsthand the suffering, the people who are out. You know, when you see those stories of the food lines, all the cars lined up, and you think, gosh, this is 2020 in the United States of America. How could this be? And yet, by talking about your story, by putting it out there, by sharing this serenity prayer, and who knows where it goes when you put it out there. I mean, obviously, the Wall Street Journal has a very good circulation, and you do reach kind of an audience that normally wouldn't see a story like that. I think it's extra special, and I think you should be, you know, I'm not just saying that, but you should be commended for taking the time and writing something positive. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you. I really appreciate those words. Thank you.
Yeah. As we leave, just a thought. How is it? Are you writing from home? Are you having to work away from the office? Are you adapting to the new normal at the working with the journal? How's it going for you?
It's going well. We've been all of us working from home, the entire journal, since early March. I always work from home. I'm in Miami. So I'm away from the main newsroom. So I've worked from home and had my home office for a while. It's been hard. I was with my boyfriend, having him at home, too. It can be a little hard. It's a little surprising all day long. But it's been harder for me to stay away from my loved ones, my parents who are older and not that well, you know, my sisters. That's been the harder part. So, but so far, so good. Just got to keep that strength, keep that serenity prayer going.
Keep it going. Thank you, Elizabeth Bernstein. Columnist, writer, Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much for sharing that prayer again and being on our Sunday Morning Newsmakers program this week.
Thank you.
Take care now.
You too.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
Up next, the Barack Lurie Show, hosted by attorney Barack Lurie. The very popular Barack Lurie Show is filled with stimulating conversation and a fresh point of view on politics, religion, and the law. Next on AM 870, The Answer.